Let's read together 2 Samuel chapter 18. Now in this chapter, we have the defeat and death of Absalom, and then David's grief over the loss of his son. Let's begin by reading the first five verses. 2 Samuel chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. And David numbered the people who were with him and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. Then David sent out one-third of the people under the hand of Joab, one-third under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and one-third under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said to the people, I also will surely go out with you myself. But the people answered, You shall not go out, for if we flee away, they will not care about us, nor if half of us die will they care about us. But you are worth 10,000 of us now, for you are now more help to us in the city. Then the king said to them, Whatever seems best to you, I will do. So the king stood beside the gate, and all the people went out by hundreds and by thousands. Now the king had commanded Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, saying, Deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains orders concerning Absalom. Let's begin our study of this chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 18, with some background notes. In 2 Samuel chapter 17, we saw that Absalom did not follow the counsel of Ahithophel. Remember, Ahithophel advised Absalom to follow David quickly before David could escape and get organized. Instead, Absalom followed the counsel of Hushai, David's spy, and waited in Jerusalem until he could gather a huge army from Dan to Beersheba. This gave David time to get to Mahanaim, a fortified city in the land of Gilead on the east side of the Jordan River. And here David was able to plan and prepare for the coming battle. We see in verse 2 of chapter 18 that David now sends his forces out to battle in three divisions, one under Joab, one under Abishai, and one under Ittai, the loyal Gittite. Before the troops departed from Mahanaim, David commanded his three generals, Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, to deal gently with Absalom, his son. Well, that brings us now to our doctrinal or teaching points for 2 Samuel chapter 18. Doctrinal point number one, God has ordained nature to serve his purposes. God has ordained nature to serve his purposes. Verses 6 through 18, 2 Samuel chapter 18, beginning now at verse 6. So the people went out into the field of battle against Israel, and the battle was in the woods of Ephraim. The people of Israel were overthrown there before the servants of David, and a great slaughter of 20,000 took place there that day. For the battle there was scattered over the face of the whole countryside, and the woods devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. Then Absalom met the servants of David. Absalom rode on a mule. The mule went under the thick boughs of a great terebinth, or oak tree, and his head caught in the oak tree. So he was left hanging between heaven and earth, and the mule which was under him went on. Now a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, I just saw Absalom hanging in an oak tree. So Joab said to the man who told him, You just saw him? And why did you not strike him there to the ground? I would have given you 10 shekels of silver and a belt. But the man said to Joab, Though I were to receive 1,000 shekels of silver in my hand, I would not raise my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing the king commanded you, and Abishai and Ittai, saying, Beware lest anyone touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise I would have dealt falsely against my own life. For there is nothing hidden from the king, and you yourself would have set yourself against me. Then Joab said, I cannot linger with you. And he took 3 spears in his hand and thrust them through Absalom's heart, while he was still alive in the midst of the oak tree. And 10 men who bore Joab's armor surrounded Absalom and struck and killed him. So Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing Israel, for Joab held back the people. And they took Absalom and cast him into a large pit in the woods and laid a very large heap of stones over him. Then all Israel fled, everyone to his tent. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and set up a pillar for himself, which is in the king's valley. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. He called the pillar after his own name, and to this day it is called Absalom's Monument. Absalom, with his great army, was defeated by David's outnumbered forces. David's men were able to use the dense forest of Ephraim to their advantage, probably hiding behind trees and picking off Absalom's men who were not used to fighting in this terrain. Remember, many of David's accumulated army recruits came from this area. In verse 8, we read that the battle there was scattered over the face of the whole countryside, and the woods devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. This does not mean that there were man-eating trees in the forest. It means that Absalom's men got separated and lost and fell into pits and over rocks, etc., so that they were no longer an effective fighting unit. They were devoured by the forest. Now let me ask you, do you think it was just by chance that this battle happened to be in this dense forest of Ephraim with its pits and rocks and uneven terrain? Of course not. This was all planned out beforehand by God himself. God has ordained nature to serve his purposes. In verse 9, we read that Absalom was riding a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak tree, and his head caught in the oak tree. So he was left hanging between heaven and earth, and the mule which was under him went on. A great oak tree was the undoing of Absalom. Again, do you think this was just by chance? No way. God had ordained it. God ordained every detail of this event, which ended Absalom's short-lived grab of power, including the very position of the oak branches, which caught Absalom's head. God has ordained nature to serve his purposes. Now, if you disagree with this doctrinal point, read the biblical accounts of the flood and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, for starters. God certainly has ordained nature to serve his purposes. God can use oak trees and forests and rocks and water and weather and other things of nature to accomplish his purposes today. Recently, God used a couple of hurricanes to cancel a couple of immoral festivals. God has ordained nature to serve his purposes. Doctrinal point number 2, God has ordained sorrow to serve his purposes. God has ordained sorrow to serve his purposes. Verses 19 through 33. 2 Samuel chapter 18, beginning now at verse 19. Then Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said, "Let me run now and take the news to the king, how the Lord has avenged him of his enemies." And Joab said to him, "You shall not take the news this day, for you shall take the news another day. But today you shall take no news, because the king's son is dead." Then Joab said to the Cushite, "Go tell the king what you have seen." So the Cushite bowed himself to Joab and ran. Then Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said again to Joab, "But whatever happens, please let me also run after the Cushite." So Joab said, "Why will you run, my son, since you have no news ready?" "But whatever happens," he said, "let me run." So he said to him, "Run." Then Ahimaaz ran by way of the plain and outran the Cushite. Now David was sitting between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate, to the wall, lifted his eyes and looked, and there was a man running alone. Then the watchman cried out and told the king, and the king said, "If he is alone, there is news in his mouth." And he came rapidly and drew near. Then the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called to the gatekeeper and said, "There is another man running alone." And the king said, "He also brings news." So the watchman said, "I think the running of the first is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok." And the king said, "He is a good man and comes with good news." So Ahimaaz called out and said to the king, "All is well." Then he bowed down with his face to the earth before the king and said, "Blessed be the Lord your God, who has delivered up the men who raised their hand against my lord the king." The king said, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" Ahimaaz answered, "When Joab sent the king's servants and me your servant, I saw a great tumult, but I did not know what it was about." Then the king said, "Turn aside and stand here." So he turned aside and stood still. Just then the Cushite came, and the Cushite said, "There is good news, my lord the king, for the Lord has avenged you this day of all those who rose against you." And the king said to the Cushite, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" So the Cushite answered, "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise against you to do harm, be like that young man. Then the king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said thus, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died in your place. O Absalom, my son, my son. Back in verse 24, we read that David was sitting between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate. This means that Mahanaim, where David was a fortified city with a two-chambered gate. That is, it had a double set of gates for better defensive purposes. David is sitting between the gates, it says here in verse 24. The chambers between the gates were used for official business in peacetime. They were like the county courthouse or city hall. And the whole gate complex had a roof over it and sometimes towers for defense and lookout. It was from here that the watchman reported to David that two runners were coming with news of the battle. Both Ahimaaz and the Cushite reported the good news of victory, but only the Cushite reported the news that Absalom had been killed. However, he wisely did not go into all the details of how Absalom had died at the hands of Joab and his 10 armor bearers while dangling in a tree. David was overwhelmed with grief when he heard the sad news. He wept and cried out, O my son Absalom, my son, my son. How sad. It did not have to be. This was the consequence of David's sins of adultery and murder, and God was using it as judgment in David's life. God can use sorrow as judgment to discipline his children today. It doesn't have to be if we would judge ourselves. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 31 and 32. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened or disciplined by the Lord. 1 Corinthians 11, 31 and 32. Many Christians suffer needless sorrow because they do not judge themselves and they do not practice self-discipline. God has ordained sorrow to serve his purposes. Now, what about practical application from 2 Samuel 18? Watch that your strength does not become your weakness. Watch that your strength does not become your weakness. We certainly see this truth illustrated in Absalom's end, don't we? Absalom was so proud of his good looks and glorious head of hair. Remember, he used his looks and charm to steal away the hearts of the men of Israel. But now that once proud head is caught in a tree, and probably, as the Jewish historian Josephus records, it was Absalom's beautiful hair that got entangled in the branches. Absalom's proud strength became his weakness. You know that can happen to us as well. Watch out. Whatever strength God has blessed you with, whether it be looks or talent or unique ability, this can become your downfall if it leads to pride and self-glory. Watch that your strength does not become your weakness.